For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. My coffee is, he's a little too nervous to do the show. I did text Coffee before the show. He's actually got another engagement, but his prediction was a two-point Notre Dame win. But the only guy in this room that really matters is you, Ed, because right now you're 1-0. So what is your prediction for Saturday night's game?
Well, like I said earlier this week, and I think Notre Dame's going to play well and win, possibly by more than a touchdown. I think that the matchup is good for them. I think they might actually have a chance of maybe playing the best game of the Brian Kelly era thus far. And I say that for a couple reasons. I think they've got the right guy playing quarterback. I think the offense shows that it can move the ball consistently this year, both on the ground and through the air. And I think that the defense is going to rise to the challenge. I mean, it's not too long ago that Denard Robinson really kind of made them look silly and kind of ran all over us. And it's basically a defense that's a year older. I think it's upgraded the talent a little bit. And I think it's two things. And I think you'll agree with this. Number one, get off to a good start. No big mistakes in the first quarter. Counterpunch for a little bit. Move the ball a little bit. Stop Michigan, after maybe a couple first downs. Just kind of hold ground because the place is going to be going nuts. The environment is going to be crazy. So number one, get off to a decent start and maybe not necessarily neutralize the crowd or take them out of the game, but at least kind of demonstrate that it's going to be it's not going to be a mistake-filled nightmare like it was last Saturday. And then secondly, keep Denard from making the big play. If we look at the film on Sunday or talk about it on Sunday night, and the biggest play he has from scrimmage is 20, 22, 24 yards, something like that, I think the defense will have done a good job and maybe have forced them into kicking a couple field goals as opposed to giving up long plays. I don't think his complementary players, the running backs and receivers, while they're good, I wouldn't put them in the great category. I wouldn't put any of them in the Michael Floyd or Sierre Wood category.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, this clear. I think you're right that this is going to be the Denard Robinson show. Do we either stop him and contain him, or do we just let him go wild on us? And I do think the defense is a much different situation. Having finished off the year that we did last year, when things could have gone helter-skelter after Tulsa, and they didn't, and the defense rose to the occasion. And you know, the defense, for the most part, played pretty well, last week. I think a lot of people think, 23 points, well, guess what? Seven of those weren't against the defense.
Yeah, I'd argue and, 13 of them weren't really against the defense.
You know? Yeah, I mean, if you really look at where we turned the ball over, I mean, holy cow. So there's that going for us, and therefore I think that does hold us. I'm going to make a bold prediction and say that we win by like 11. And I think that I think the reason or the key that's going to happen is, one, we do start off where we get our feet underneath us, and the first two series don't result in turnovers, and their first two series don't result in some big, huge play. That's going to be enough for us to get our confidence and our feet and to know that, all right, we're now capable and we're going to go ahead and execute. You did say one thing. Let me ask you really quick, because obviously this is the right guy underneath center. A lot of people might look at the situation and think, wow, now that I've been removed from the game and everything, is it really a quick trigger to pull a guy like Dane Chris for the entire season based on one half of a performance that, yeah, he wasn't great, but was he really that bad? What are your thoughts on, do you think that actually he didn't win out the job that convincingly, and therefore the reason for the quick hook?
You know, I don't know. I mean, because we weren't at those at those practices, but I think that a lot of Notre Dame fans kind of, maybe whether they want to admit it or not, feel a little bit more comfortable with Tommy Rees playing quarterback. I know I do, and I think that's just because we just kind of see a little bit more steadiness and stability, and we think that this team doesn't need necessarily a Heisman Trophy winner playing quarterback. It needs somebody who doesn't make mistakes, can get the ball to Michael Floyd and Eifert and spread it around a little bit, and can, you know, maybe isn't the whole kind of physical package that Dane Chryst is, but is maybe a little bit quicker with his reads and a little bit less likely maybe to make the big flashy play, but also less likely to make the bad play or to miss the open receiver on a key down, and some of the things that have plagued Dane, and, you know, just throw a higher percentage of completions, I guess, would be one way to put it as well. So I think that Tommy Rees is the guy this year. I mean, I'd be very surprised if he doesn't hang on to this job for the rest of the year, barring injury. I mean, he's also a pretty tough kid. You know, he got knocked around a little bit last Saturday and certainly last year. And I think he strikes me as the kind of guy that's pretty hard to dislodge once they kind of get into a rhythm, you know, and once they kind of, you know.
Yeah, I don't – more than – right, I would agree with you. And I think more than that, I don't see Brian Kelly playing ping pong with this decision. I really don't. I think it was an agonizing decision for him, but I also feel like, you know, you got to do what's right for the football team, and it's pretty evident that – you know, that the move was in the best interest of the team to win now. So you got to take him at his word for it. And I do think that's what's happening. And I don't think you're going to see a quick hook on Tommy Rees at all. If anything, things would have to be completely disastrous for him to see Tommy get replaced by Dane. And so that's the way it's going to be from this point forward. We'll have, you know, plenty of opportunity to analyze that decision over the next couple games. But, for me, I think, you know, if we wanted to talk about the keys of this game, I think it's going to be two things. It's going to be, number one, a game of field position, which means we are going to need to have a punter show up and deliver game time kicks, not 34 yards for five attempts. You are going to need that, and you know, furthermore, to the point of the defense, I can't imagine Michigan averaging their ball on their own 30 or 25, even if we can pull that off, and putting up the kind of scores that are going to outscore us over the course of a game. I don't see that at all. If we're turning the ball over, or if we're getting lousy punts where Michigan's starting at their own 50 or their own 40, then you're going to see some problems, and outscoring them is going to be a problem. The other thing I would point out is the end play. A guy like Denard Robinson has got to be contained, and the way you contain him is you don't let him run wild on the outside. And if we can just force him inside with the kind of defense that we've got over the course of a game, he's just not going to have enough big plays to put the kind of points on the board that he's going to need to outscore us. And for me, that's where I think the keys lie.
And, you know, he's gotten banged up a few times, too. I mean, I think didn't he sit out a series or two in the game with Notre Dame last year? And he did. You know, and also, yep. He had some other games during the year where, you know, you play the way that he does and you get exposed. And I think that this is a team that can, you know, knock him out for a play or two, or at least rough him up a little bit, all within the rules of the game, of course, but still, you know, get a shot or two on him. And that helps a little bit. Because then you can kind of wear a guy down a little bit, and then maybe he makes a mistake, you know, in the passing game in the third quarter or early in the fourth quarter. You know, maybe he doesn't make a good read, and suddenly, you know, you got a pick six going the other way, or you've got a ball batted in the air. Who knows? All kinds of crazy things can happen. And playing Michigan up there under the lights in that kind of an environment, there's a pretty good chance that something pretty crazy, pretty unusual, maybe not something we've ever seen before, but something that makes you kind of scratch your head and say, you know, only Notre Dame, Michigan could this happen. Hopefully that when something like that happens, it's a break that kind of goes our way, because I think we basically used our season allotment of
we're
nightmares
due.
Last year.
If there's anybody due for catching a couple breaks, it's this football team. because they haven't caught any, and I mean any. So you would kind of hope. There's always that scenario, Michigan Notre Dame, of something wild happening and a couple bounces here and there. But I do think that the turnover margin is going to be a big key. It's going to come down to Notre Dame not turning the ball over, and I'm sure there's emphasis on that, and I hope they're spending a lot of time talking about it, because if Notre Dame does not turn the football over, then you'd be hard pressed to say that they're up against a team that's going to be a difficult matchup for them. And that being the case, it's a confidence thing, and Brian Kelly's going to earn his stripes this week, that's for sure. He is in one heck of a situation. And a lot of coaching is going to be determined for this football game, and he's in the spotlight. I mean, a lot of people are looking at how do they respond from such a disastrous start, and a lot of that does fall on the head coach about getting your team into a mindset of winning and having a plan in front of them that says, look, guys, if we execute this, we are walking out of the stadium with a W, and that's all we care about. And can he get his players to commit to that? If he does, if he finds fault or difficulties in trying to gain that confidence from his players, then man, it could be a long night, and not only a long night, but a long season. They walk out of there 0-2 and look out.
But I mean, I do think that it's a team that is pretty. It's proven itself already. Over last year and this year to be pretty tough mentally. I mean, the whole Brian Kelly sidelines, yelling and stuff and all that kind of stuff, which I think is kind of a silly thing. But I do think that the reason he was so frustrated was because I think he genuinely believes he's got a real good football team. And that's what made him crazy, was that, he had guys that he had a lot of trust in and really believed in, a lot of experienced guys. Who are making some pretty silly, undisciplined mistakes. So that emotion, that anger that you saw was, I think, coming from the right place. It was coming from high expectations for his players. It wasn't that anger of a man exasperated that his plan for rebuilding this program was falling behind and wasn't where he wanted it to be at that point. I think it was the emotions of a guy who was like, we are better than this. We are so much better than this. What the hell are we doing?
Brian Kelly would have been saying different things all throughout training camp and different things heading into the – because I think he's a smart guy. I don't think Brian Kelly – had he been seeing the kinds of things that made him nervous about something like that potentially happening Saturday – then he would have been a heck of a lot more cautious than he was. And therefore, I do think that his outbursts were genuine. They were not himself, just as you said, orchestrating anger towards somebody disrupting his plans. That's not at all what was going on. It was pure frustration from a team that he felt like was well beyond the self-destruction that they exhibited on Saturday, and I think that's absolutely true.
And I also think that, and not to go off on this topic, but, what you saw on Saturday, I mean, Brian Kelly to me strikes me as the kind of guy who, who was completely in T.J. Jones's corner this week in practice, completely in Theo Riddick's corner this week in practice, completely in Jonas. I mean, he was running past them and stretching and warm up, saying, "All right, forget it. We're going to get him this week, Jonas. Don't worry about it." And he's talking about the kind of weeks that they've had in practice or whatever. I mean, that's the kind of in the heat of the battle. I mean, that's the kind of coach that you want. I mean, he can say anything to you on game day, but where you build these guys up, where you get them ready to play, is during the week. So I really don't care what he didn't hit anybody. He didn't twist any face masks. He didn't I mean, what's important is how he treats them Monday through Sunday through Friday, as much as it is what he does on Saturday. And I guarantee you that T.J. Jones, Jonas Gray, the other Ed Warner, his assistant, his offensive line assistant, who he ripped a new one on the sidelines. I mean, they're in the foxhole together. I don't get the impression that those guys are kind of like, what's this nut job doing now. That everything's cool. And they want to win just as badly as he does, and they know exactly where that was coming from. You know, and they agree with it. They know they've got to do a better job. So I don't think, you know, the only thing that kind of anger is destructive is when it's when it damages the psyche of a football team, you know, or where it creates some dissension or some problems. But I think it's the furthest thing from that. Looking at the Michigan side for a second, Mike, you know, I think that's a program, you know, headed in the right direction. I think they've got the right guy. I think that they're probably a little bit behind Notre Dame in rebuilding the foundation of a program. And that's, you know, I'm sure their defense will be improved this year, but I still think it's one that we could do some damage to. And they're going to be jacked, and they're headed in the right direction. But I also think that psychologically, Brady Hoke would much rather have seen Notre Dame win 34-10 last weekend. And I also think that this group of Notre Dame players might actually respond a little bit better to the bright lights and the game day and all the hoopla on Saturday night than this Michigan team. Because, you know, when you're in a new system with new coaches and stuff and things maybe go a little bit awry, you tend to kind of still fall into some bad habits, especially on defense. And so I would give Notre Dame the edge a little bit psychologically, even though it's a big home game, first game under the lights in Michigan. You know, they didn't play at Yankee Stadium last year. I don't even know if they had any night games at all last year, maybe one or two. But, you know, I think the environment actually is a good one for Notre Dame to be playing in, coming off such a miserable loss at home.
Yeah, and it is. And I think that there's plenty of opportunity for Notre Dame to recapture the confidence that they need moving ahead. It's going to be key those first couple series. And I think it's as simple as just not turning the ball over. I don't think Notre Dame needs to be spectacular. I think these guys just need to get back on their feet again and know that they're the team that's capable of executing and executing well without making mistakes. And just that alone is going to bode well for this football team. Mostly because I think the defense is that good. I do think the defense is for real. I think that a lot of people have kind of missed that point about the South Florida game. They're looking at the loss, and they're not really looking at the game and how it was played. Because I did think that for the most part, except for the end play was the only thing that had me a little concerned. And obviously going into Michigan, that's got me some concern right now. But I think if that is handled any way, shape, for this game, they are going to be a solid defensive football team that is not going to give up 35 points to Denard Robinson. That's just not going to happen. And therefore, if we can just force these guys to play the length of the football field, it's going to bode well for us. And you know, this could very well, like you said, it could be what this team needs. It needs an 8 o'clock game under the lights, first time ever, big, huge game in Michigan Stadium, big, huge media, and they need that in order to grab the momentum back as badly as they lost it last Saturday.
Right. I also think that they've got something different this year in terms of a running game. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say it was non-existent at this time of the season last year against Michigan, but it was pretty shaky. And Sierra is we're jumping ahead a little bit, but I think he's a real quality back. I think they know they're real comfortable with their blocking scheme, with their running game. And, you know, he's a guy that can get you some tough yards, apparently. If he stays healthy, protects the ball on Saturday, I think he'll have a really good game, especially if they can get him kind of running downhill in the second half. And that is so important, because not only does it keep Denard Robinson off the field, but it wears on a defense, you know, so much more than the quick strike passing game, in my opinion. If they could put together some sustained drives with Sierra finishing them off, I think that's something that that would really kind of really set the tone, set the tempo, and mean, you know, come the fourth quarter, they're able to you know, kind of slam the door on this thing.
Yep, absolutely. Well, let's hope for better days, and more importantly, that you start out the year 2-0 instead of 1-2. I'd be happy with that. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.